Today's Shir's Masechta Ksubas Daf Chav Beis. We will begin on Daf Chav Aleph Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Shlosh Shiyosh V'Kayim Sashtar. If three Dayanim gather together with the purpose to certify a Shtar, and now says the Gemara, what happened was, Kari Ira Alechem Mehem. And there was an issue that arose. Edim came and mentioned that there is a question on the kashrus of one of those dayanim. However, the other two dayanim who were part of this bezdin know that this dayan, that there's a question on his status, is perfectly fine. So says Rav Abba, Achlai Chosmu, before the dayanim already signed their name on the certification, midin alav, they could say edus that this third dayan is a qualified dayan for chaysim, and once they offer that testimony, that third dayan whose status has been questioned is been resolved, and he could sign the hempik. However, mishichasmu, once they already signed their names on the hempik, ainbi edim alav, they are now at this point disqualified to say edus about the third dayan, and therefore, because his status has been questioned, and these two dayanim who are the individuals who could establish that his status is fine cannot do so. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, the reason they can't say edus after they already signed, because at this point they become the Geyer Be'edus, that they become partial, they become some people who are personally involved in this Torah, because if this third Dayan is actually not qualified to be a Dayan, that means they sat together with a Dayan who was disqualified. And according to that, if there will be others who say that this Dayan is fine, then they can't sign. It's just they can't say edus anymore because they have negius. So we see from here, points out the Mari Ben Lev, that when we think about a dayan being, about somebody being the gay be'edus, we always think about it in terms of a financial gain, that I have a financial interest in this Torah. Here we're learning that Nogei Bedover is not related to financial interest. These other two dayanim have no financial interest with this dayan. The entire issue is that their reputation's on the line. The Marit, however, says that no, that the definition of somebody who's Nogei Be'edus is always somebody who has a financial interest. So why can't they be Edim over here? Because it's too late. It has nothing to do with Negius, he says. He says that at this point, once they signed, then they are too much involved. Once they already signed, they can't say Edis because it looks like they're only trying to protect, not because of Negius, but it's looked like they're trying to protect their interest. And we're concerned, that's the way I saw the Echroidim explain the opinion of the Marit, that now we're concerned that because once they're going to lie. Says the Gemara, we started that there was a claim against this third dayan. Ask the Gemara, Iridamai, exactly what is the issue that we have with this, that people are saying about him? If they're saying that he's a Gazlan, and as we know, a person who's a Gazlan, that is possible to say edus. So now the question is, why if these two dayanim come and say that he's qualified, will that be fine? It should still remain a situation of trey v'trey. As we've often discussed in our shiurim, if you have two edim saying one thing and you have two edim saying another thing, the halacha is that it remains at an impasse. So why over here is it not considered a situation of an impasse? And if they're coming to say that there's some sort of a issue that this eved, that this dayan, let's say, is an eved. So ask the Gemara, gilim el sbamhu. So that's something that could easily be determined. We'll determine his family status and see if he's kosher or not. Answers the Gemara, l'olam emloch, iru, the gazlusa. There are two edim that came and said that this third dayan was a gazlan. And a person who's a gazlan is disqualified to say edis. However, when these two edim come now and say, when these two dayanim that we began the shiur discussing if and when they could talk about their third dayan, their colleague, saying the yedin and the hani yedin davar b'tshuva, what they're saying is that he did tshuva. So if two people say that this dayan is a gazlan, and then two other people say that he's not a gazlan, so indeed that is considered a situation of trey trey. But when they're not denying that he was a gazlan, they're saying that he did tshuva. So therefore, that is something they could believe. The question, of course, that the Rishonim and the Achronim discuss is at what point is it considered that a gazlan did tshuva and that now he could be considered qualified to say edus, qualified to be a dayan. Some take a very lenient approach. As soon as we could prove that what he returned, what he stole, that is enough that it should be considered that he did tshuva. Others say that that's not good enough. We have to be in a situation that we see that he does lefnim mishuras adim. This is the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam holds that once, unfortunately, somebody has been labeled as a gazlan, he only loses that status. It's not just because he returns what he stole. He has to show that he's really anxious to do what's right when it comes to other people's money. A third approach that I saw that the Torah suggests is if somebody stole something and he was forced to return what he stole, that is not a proof that he did tshuva. Only an individual who didn't have to return something that wasn't his and on his own went and returned what he stole, that is a proof that he did tshuva. There's another approach that the Shulchan Aruch in Chasam Mishpat Siman Chavtes quotes. And that's a difference if a person stole only once or a person was a person who stole many times. If a person stole once, the tshuva is a much easier and quicker way to be considered about tshuva. If, however, this person stole a number of times, we're not so quick to allow the person to be considered about tshuva. Amr Zera Hamelsa Reb Abishmili, and so he says that this halacha that we've been discussing, I heard from Reb Abba. Vila Reb Abba de Menaka. If not, that Reb Abba from Menako reminded me this halacha shechachti. I would have forgotten. And the halacha is Shloish Shiyosh Vilkayim Sashtar. If three dayonim sit down to be mekayim shtar, and then one of them passes away, we have to write on the certification, on the hempik, we started that with a bezdin of three dayanim, but one is no longer here. Because if we're not going to have that, explains Rashi, people are going to see that it says that we started b'moisav t'losa, we started with three dayanim, but we only have two dayanim signed in the hempik. And they're going to think that there's something wrong here. By clearly indicating what happened, we avoid that problem. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, v'kos b'shtar d'nan, nofak l'kamona b'edina. But if instead of writing b'moisav t'losa, instead of writing that we sat as a group of three, they write that this shtar was brought to us a bezdin, su eloi tzorich, we don't have to write anything more. Ask the Gemara, but why could they write that? Maybe people will think that this is a Bezdin Chotzev. The definition of a Bezdin Chotzev is a Bezdin that only had on it two dayanim. And that's not considered a proper Bezdin, because a Bezdin is not supposed to have an even amount of Dayanim. So by writing this word, how are we solving any problem? Answers the Gemara Kedushmul. The reason you could write this type of a language is Dama Shmuel, following the opinion of Shmuel, Dama Shmuel Shnayim Shadonu Dinayim Din. If you have two Dayanim who do it in Torah, and they both agree. So if they both agree, we already have the majority. Because if we would have had three, we also would only need two of the three Dayanim to agree. The Ella, he says, Shnikra Bezdin Chotzov. Such a Bezdin is considered a Bezdin Chotzov. Says the Nesivus, that from here we see what the Gemara is teaching us, that the Bezdin that has two Dayanim signing on it is considered a full-fledged Bezdin. And therefore, they could write the word Bezdin even though if you only have two Dayanim. However, I did see that there are others that disagree. And the Chasam Sofer says that two Dayanim, even though if we had it in Torah, as we said a moment ago, and two of the three Dayanim would agree to the same opinion, it would be considered a legitimate psak. It's not considered a Bezdin. That is because we, even though that would be the majority, could by definition, a Bezdin needs to have three Dayanim. So why would it be acceptable here? So Chasam Sofer's approach is that for Kiyum Shtaris, for certification of a Shtar, it's not necessary always to have a Bezdin. You could have Edim. And if two are signed, it works as Edim. So if that's the case, what's the problem? If it says Bezdin, the Ksibe Beidina de Rabbana Ashi. The Shtar said that this was the Bezdin of Ashi, and according to Rav Ashi, you always need to have three Dayanim. Ask the Rabbanim Rabbanim the Beir of Ashi, Kishmul Svirlei, and two are enough. The Ksibe says, the Gemara, it says explicitly in this Hempik, Vamalan Rabbanim Ashi. Rav Ashi certainly would have never told them to be Mekayim Mishtar, which just with two Edim. Says the Mishnah, Isha Shamra, if a woman comes and says, Eishes Isha Yisi, I was married, however v'grushani, and now I'm divorced. The loch is namenis. We believe her when she says this, because hapesha asar, hapesha iter. The only reason we know she's married is because she says so. So if she says at the same time that she's saying she was married, she's also indicating that she is now divorced. So then we have the concept that we've discussed and we'll be continuing to discuss in our shir of a pesha asa pesha hitam. However, if we have independent Edom who could say that she was an Eishes Ish, so we don't need her testimony to prove she was an Eishes Ish, and she just walks in and very marries Grushani and she says, I'm divorcee, now ain't in a menace. And we can't allow her to get remarried unless she could bring two Edom. So here we learned that if a woman says, Eishes Ish Hayisi for Grushani, the halacha is, if there are no other Edom, as we just learned, who could tell us if she was Eishes Ish, we believe her. But there's a big machlokes with Shonim here. Do we need to say Grushani Tarkdei Dibur? Raveda Yoina opinion is that even though we're relying here on a Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter, that's only if she says Eishes Ish and Ivigrusha Tarkdei Dibur. But if it's after Tarkdei Dibur, we cannot accept her claim unless, as we're going to learn, she gives an amasla, she gives a legitimate excuse. Drama disagrees. She said that she has to say it as long as we're still in the Bezdin dealing with this issue. Tarkdei Dibur. But the two statements, the two phrases, don't have to be Tarkdei Dibur of each other. The Torah says that there is no reason to do it Tarkdei Dibur. And the Torah explains, when is there a halacha that if you make two contradictory statements, the second statement has to be made within Tarkdei Dibur of the first statement? Explains the Torah, that's only in a situation where the second statement and the first statement cannot coexist. But when a woman says, Eishes Ish Hayisi, I was an Eishes Ish, Grushani, those two statements aren't necessarily contradictory. She was married, and she's no longer married. And therefore, the halacha is that you don't have to have a tov kedei dibur. And the Machna Frayim explains, what is the basis of this machloikus rishonim that we just explained? The question is, how do we understand the concept of pesha asa pesha hitter? If we understand pesha asa pesha hitter as a migui, believe me with what I'm saying, because I didn't have to say anything, or I could have said something else. So in other words, the pesha asa pesha hitter is really all part of the claim that's being made. Since it's all part of the claim that's being made, every claim has to be said toch kedei dibur. But if we hold the pesha asa pesha hitter is an independent new halacha, that as we're going to learn in our shiur today, the pesha asa pesha hitter is a reason or a time where the Torah says we could believe a person, so then it's not connected to the claim. And therefore, even if it wasn't said toch kedei dibur, the halacha is we are belief. The woman who says eishes ish, if she would have said just eishes ish, then she would be believed, if she didn't say grushani. And as we've discussed previously in our shiurim, that the reason, if a woman walks into Besdin and says eishes ish ani, we believe her, is for because of shavya nafsha chaticha dayasura. And as we've explained in our previous shiurim, there's a machlokes achronim, why shavya nafsha chaticha dayasura has validity in halacha. Some explain that shavya nafsha chaticha dayasura works because it's a nether. Just like the Torah teaches us, if there's something mutter, there's something I'm allowed to eat, there's something I'm allowed to do, I have a right to make a nether, and I won't be allowed to eat it, and I won't be allowed to do it. Shavya nafsha chaticha dayasura is no different than a nether that she says, I'm an eishes ish, and all the halachas of an eishes ish apply to me. Others explain that shavya nafsha chaticha dayasura is a special namonis, is a special case where the Torah gives a namonis to the woman. And therefore, the halach is that she could do shavya nafsha chaticha dayasura. We're learning in our Mishnah that even though, as we just explained, she is believed when she says, Eishes ish ani, Eishes ish ayisi, grush ani. And we explained the reason she's believed because of Pesha, also Pesha Eter. But after, if they're Edom, and therefore we no longer lead her Pesha, also Pesha Eter, then we don't believe her. So I saw the Achroinim give different explanations why. Rabbi Chanan discusses this. Some explain that Pesha Aser, Pesha Hitter is a special mnemonis. But this mnemonis of Pesha Aser, Pesha Hitter is only under certain conditions. And when there are Edim, then there's no mnemonis of Pesha Aser, Pesha Hitter. Another explanation, again, going back to something that we discussed earlier, is that Pesha Aser, Pesha Hitter is a migui. And as the Gemara often discusses, that a migui b'mokim edim is not effective. Another case, Amra Nishbesi. If a woman comes and says that I was kidnapped by the Akum, and the halacha is that once a woman was kidnapped, the halacha assumes that this woman was violated by them, and since she was violated by them, she can never marry a Kayan because she falls into the category of a Zoyna. But she claims Tahirani that there was nothing that happened between me and them. The halacha again is that she's believed. The reason she's believed is because a pesha also pesha hitter. But says the Mishnah, im yesh edim shenishbis, if they're independent edim that she was kidnapped, via meres Tahirani, and she comes with a claim that she's Tahira, then the halacha is ain't a menace. However, says the Mishnah, vimishinissis, she came into Besdin, she says nishbesi v'tahirani. And based on that, Besdin believed her and allowed her to marry a Kohen because of the Pesha Aser Pesha Hitter. And now Edom come, and we know without her claim that she was Nishbesa, once she got married, her Bezal Hatetzi, and what that means we'll see in the Gemara. Amar Vasi begins the Gemara Menayin. From where do we know this halacha that we just discussed in our Mishnah of a Pesha Aser Pesha Hitter? Answers the Gemara Menatayra. Where do we know this concept Menatayra? Shenema. The Torah says that that if a husband is mighty shemra on his wife, and he tells, and he says as, that I had relations with my wife, and she was a bula, and it's obvious that she had relations as an arusa, and the father of this girl comes to Beis Din to protect the status of his daughter. And he says, as biti nusati lishazah v'yisna eha, I gave my daughter to this man and he hated her. V'inu sam alilas tvarim, and he's putting out a libel on her. Lema lematzosel betcha psulim v'ele psula biti. He says that my daughter is a psula. The halacha is l'ish, the father says l'ish, as asra, that by him saying that I married her off, she's married, the halacha is she's now an eshes ish. By saying hazeh, that it was only with this man, hitira. And therefore we see that pesha asra, pesha hitir. He said that she's married, but he also said to whom? By saying to whom, everybody else becomes mutter. So our Gemara used this halacha to teach us that we see the halacha pesha asa pesha hitter, because by saying l'ish, he was able to identify. So Taisus Shishanim asks, why does the Gemara have to say that there's a special mnemonis that the father has by saying esbiti nasati l'shazeh pesha asa pesha hitter? The Gemara asked Taisus Shishanim, and Masecht Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis teaches us that if a person claims Gerashti is Ishti, I divorced my wife, he's believed. Since Biyada Lagarsha, he has the power to grant her a divorce. That's why he's believed. Anything that you have the power to do, you have an amonis to say that you did it. So the question asked the Tosfos Shishanim, a father is believed. The father is the one that has the right to be Mekadosh's daughter. Since a father has that right, as we just saw in the Torah, as biti nusati l'shazeh, the father should also have the right to say l'shazeh. So Ritva says that when the Torah, that the pasuk is biti nusati l'shazeh, is that the father has authority to marry off his daughter. And indeed, says the Ritva, that's what the Gemara means to say, that the reason why there is a Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter is because Biyad al-Kacha. So in other words, the Ritva is saying that that's exactly what the Gemara meant to say. Taisus Shishanim answer that even though a father has the authority to marry off his daughter, it's not something that's totally within his power. In other words, the Taisus Shishanim says that we can't compare our Gemara to the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra about the Gerushin. Because Midaraisa, a husband has the full-fledged authority to divorce his wife without any other party involved. However, when a father, even though a father has a right to marry off his daughter as a ketana, that is only if he'll find a chassan. So it's not like it's totally in his control. That flaw says that, indeed the Torah would have believed the father without the pasuk, since it's biyadai, that would only be mikana lahaba. The svara of biyadai only works that since I could have married her off today, I believe what I say. But the issue that we're discussing in our Gemara is what happened. Biyada explains that flaw is not a svara that works retroactively. Rabbi Kivega says that the father has a right to say, I married off my daughter to a certain man, even if that man is denying it. And based on the father's claim, the daughter would not be allowed to get married without receiving a get from that person. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that what the pasuk is teaching us is that not only is a father believed, and yes, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the reason the father's believed is because they biyada, but that may be not, we wouldn't know that the father's even believed when the husband is denying, when the supposed husband is denying what the father said. Teaches us our Gemara that the father is believed even if the husband says it didn't happen. As the Gemara, Belamali Kro, ask the Gemara, why do we need a pasuk to teach us this concept of Peshas or Pasha Hitta? Svarihi, why can't we rely on a logic? Who Asra, for who Sharila? The same way the father says that he married her off, he could say whom was the chasm. Answers the Gemara, Ke Elikis Rekra L'Cherifuna Merav. Dom Ravuna Merav, Menayin La'av Shnem L'Lessas Bitim in the Torah. How do we know that the father has a right to say that his daughter is married? Shnem has Bitim Nesati L'Sezer. Hazeh L'Mali. But ask the Gemara, why does the Pasuk have to say the word Hazeh? If the father's believed, so he's obviously believed to say as well who is the chasen. Why does the Torah have to add the word hazeh? Answers the Gemara, Michibayla Chetani Rabbi Yoina. The Tani Rabbi Yoina, the pasuk says that the father says, as biti neosati l'shazeh, the father could say hazeh, that if the father says, if it's a situation where the oris says, where the chasen says that she was not a psula when she was supposed to, that's when the halachas of Moitzi Shemra apply, that he has to pay the knas, and not only must he pay the knas, if they're prepared to remain married to him, he has to remain married to her. But let's say v'lo liyavim, let's say the oris passed away, and she fell to yibum, and the yavim is the one who is Moitzi Shemra, the halacha is, the halachas of Moitzi Shemra do not apply by an oris, by a yavam. They only apply by the husband itself. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Hisha Sha'amra, Esha Sishani. And then, Chazra Ve'amra Pnuyani, she first claims that she was an Esha Sish. And then, she claims that she's single, Namenis. Ask the Gemara, but we learned early in our shir the concept of Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Di Yisura. So once she said Eish Asish Ani, she made herself, she put on herself all of the halachas of an Eish Asish. How could she just turn that off? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava Barav Huna, Kigan Shanasna Maslo Dvara. We're speaking here about a situation where she was able to explain what she said. So our Gemara is now introducing a new concept, and that is the concept of a masla. So the question is, if there's a halacha of a masla, so then why did our Mishnah have to have a discussion of Nisgarashti, and we spoke in the Rishonim that she's namenis, but it has to be taught kadei dibur? Why? If she could give an excuse why she said it, as our Gemara teaches us, so why do we have to have the special din of Peshas or Peshet of our Mishnah? So some explain that our Mishnah, she would be believed without an amasla. Peshas or Peshahitr teaches us that we don't always have to have an amasla. And as long as Peshas or Peshahitr are there, she doesn't have to have an amasla. The other explanation that the Mashal suggests is that our Mishnah, it's not a total retraction. She's in this Gemara that we just learned, she says, I said I was an Eish Asish, but I really was never an Eish Asish. So that you need an Amasla. And our Mishnah, when she started saying Eish Asish, when she started with the claim that she was Eish Asish, and then she says that she's not, so she's not because she Gerashti, that isn't a total contradiction. And a masla means that she's totally retracting from what she said. When she's not totally retracting from what she said, that isn't considered, and with an excuse, obviously, that's not considered a situation of an amasla. And says the Gemara Tanya Namihachi, Omre Eish Asishani, if a woman said she's an Eish Asish, and then Chazra Omre Pnuyani, and then she retracts and says, no, I'm single, ain't in a menace. However, Umnasa Masla, if she gives an explanation for what she said and why she said it, Umnasa Masla Devarah, then the menace. And the Brisa continues with such an episode. There was a woman, a special woman, Shasha Gedoyla Benoi, was very beautiful. And many men wanted to marry her. And she wasn't interested in marrying them. And then she said, I was Mekudeshes. But a few days passed, and she married a man. So Chum said, how are you getting married? Aren't you an Eshesish? The people who proposed to me were men who were not worthy people that I should want to marry them. So in order to get them to stop asking me to marry them, Amarti Mekudeshesani. But now appropriate people came to want to marry me. So now I got married. So that's a legitimate maslo. And they indeed paskin nasa maslo dvarel. If she gives a legitimate maslo, then namenis. In fact, we have such an example in the Torah. The Torah tells us, "V'yeshiv Yitzchak b'Gror, Yitzchak was dwelling in Gror. V'shalu anshe amikam le'ishtoi, and people were asking about his wife Rivka. V'yomer, and he said, 'Achoisihi, she is my sister. Kiyaru le'me ishti, he was concerned to say that she is his wife. Pen yaguni anshe amikam al Rivka, ki tovus marihi. They were concerned that they would kill her." Kill him in order to be able to have relations with her. But says the Pasuk, V'hi ki'achula yamim, as he spent time there, V'yashkev Avimelech melech perlishtim ba'arach alayim, Avimelech looks out the window, V'yavihine yitzom tzachas rifka ishtai. And Rashi explains the V'yashkev, that he saw that they were having relations. So Rachroinim asked, once Yitzchak declared, Achoisihi, the halacha is, that she becomes usher. So how did he have relations with her after he made the declaration? Says the Ramah, that the Pasuk itself, the Ramah and the Shas HaTshuvos, Simon Beis, says that the Pasuk itself answers the question. Yitzchak was well aware that once he makes such a declaration, she would become usher to him. But what she said, by saying in the Pasuk, Kiyari lemer ishti penyar guni. So you have a built-in amasla. The Pesach Tshuva says that when we say that a woman becomes osur, that's only in the case and where there's a maisa, where somebody said I did something, and then he says I didn't do it. So the question is, can we believe him or believe her when after they first said that they did something, that they didn't really do it. But that isn't the case over here. They explain the case that we're discussing over here is where there was a declaration made. He made a declaration, Achoisi. A declaration of Achoisi, which is not true, because she's not Achoisi, doesn't need an amasla to revert. Another pshat is that when it's obvious, when it's obvious that the Steichemid says that what he's saying is not true, then there's no need for an amasla. Here it was obvious that what Yitzchak said was only because of his concern. Ramosha says that the entire concept that we're learning in our shir, Peshas or Peshahitr, amasla, only became relevant after Matan Torah. But when before Matan Torah, then the halacha is that there is no din of a peshasar, there is no din of a masla. There's a beautiful vart from the Divrei Yisrael, the Majid Tzur Rebbe, when he speaks about peshasar, peshahitter. He says, the lesson of peshasar, peshahitter is the power of one's speech. The power of one's speech is peshasar. A person with his mouth, a person with his speaking can make something which we thought was mutter, usser. A person could take a piece of meat that we all thought was not kosher, and pasha usser, he can make it kosher. But it's also the power of pasha hitter, that a person that could take something which we thought is usser is mutter. And he says, what we see from our Gemara as pasha usser, pasha hitter, The halacha is that a person that says something it's asur, but even greater power is to say something is mutter. To bring heter to the world is much more powerful than to bring issa to the world. Bamnei Shmuel Merav. Ask Shmuel from Rav the following question. Amra, a woman said to her husband, Tamei ani, I'm a nida. And then the Chazra Amara, and then she says, Taira ani, I was not a nida. Mau, is she we believe? Says the Gemara, Amalei, so Rav said to Shmuel, Apazu, in this case as well, Imnosna Maslad Varel, if she's able to explain herself, then Namenis. Tanaminei, says the Gemara, he learned this halacha 40 times. Shmuel learned this halacha from Rav 40 times and then to learn it. But says the Gemara, even though he learned this 40 times, le'avit Shmuel b'nafshei. So I saw that the Mefarshim point out what's pshat that he learned it 40 times is because in those days, Torah was Torah Shebal Peh. There was nothing committed to writing. Since there was nothing committed to writing, they wanted to make sure that when they said something, when they heard something, they would be believed. So the question is, why did Shmuel not follow this halacha? We just finished learning the halacha of Masla. So from here we see, explain the Paiskim, that a Masla is not to be considered something that we always accept an Amasla. When we speak about an Amasla, we have to judge the Amasla. Is it an Amasla that is acceptable, or is it an Amasla that's not acceptable? Here, Shmuel felt that just because she didn't want to have relations, it's not a good enough reason to take this approach and say that I didn't want to have relations, and that's why I said something that's not true. Another explanation that I saw is that when a woman says something, a man says something, and now it becomes a definite declaration. So since it became a definite declaration, if that becomes the status, unless there's an amasla. When a woman says that she's a nida, so that's not forever. Every woman who becomes a nida can be matar herself after the proper conditions are met, and she will no longer be a nida. So instead of relying on the amasla, Shmuel said, let her be matar herself, and once she's matar herself, we wouldn't have any issue. Tana Rabbanan, Shnayim Amar Mes, two, a woman who had a chazaka that she was an ishish. And two people come in, two Edom come in and say that her husband passed away. But there are two other Edom who say, Loimes, that he didn't die. Or, Shnaim Amrim Nizgarsha, two Edom said that she's divorced and she's no longer an Eshesish. Shnaim Amrim Loim Nizgarsha, she's not divorced and she's not an Eshesish. The halacha is, Hareza Loitinosei, because we have here a situation of Trey, as we often discuss in our Shiurim. Vim Nisus, but if she did get married, the halacha is like Teitzei, she doesn't have to leave her husband. Rav Nachman Yosi Omer, Teitzei, she can't remain with the new husband. Amar Rav Nachman Yosi, Em Seyani Me Teitzei, when did I say this halacha? Bezman Sha'ay Edim, when the two Edim contradict each other, Vakach Nisus, and then she got married, even though there's this situation of Trey. Avil, if two Edim come, and say that she's divorced, or two Edom come and say that her husband died, Venissus, and based on their testimony, she got married, Vakach bar Edom, and now other Edom, after she got married, based on their testimony, say that her husband didn't divorce, her husband didn't die, then the halacha is like Teitzei. Because since when she got married with the Besdin's heter, so she's not obligated to leave the new husband unless we could prove that the husband didn't divorce her, the husband didn't die. Whereas, if she got, according to this, explains the Chacham Tzvi, whereas if she didn't have a heter from Beis Din and she got married, then the halacha is that she can't, if she got married, she has to leave her husband because she ridiculed the Beis Din. She was mezalzel in the Beis Din, that the Beis Din said that she shouldn't get married, and she went and she got married. She, because she was mezalzel in the Beis Din, Chacham Tzvi says she has to leave. The other, the Pnei Yeshua takes a different approach. The Pnei Yeshua says that a woman who is known to be married is a woman who has a chazok of an Eishes Ish. That chazok of an Eishes Ish remains in place until it's definitively broken. And if it's not definitively broken, she obviously may not get remarried without, she can't get married. But ask the Gemara. In the case where, as we just said, everybody agrees, two Edom came and said that her husband divorced her, her husband died. And based on that, she got remarried. And now two other Edom come and say, it's not what happened. How can we ignore those two Edom? Michti, asked the Gemara. Trey v'trey ninu. We have a situation, trey v'trey. And the husband that now has relations with her, habal abashim talikoy, because she's, it's a question if she's still an Eishes Ish. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, we're referring here to a situation that she married Echad Me'edel. She married one of our Edom, and as far as he's concerned, she's not an Eishes Ish. And a Tosfos says that, and asked the Gemara, but still, even though the aide is confident that he's not doing anything wrong, because he knows that the husband died or divorced her, but he gufa asked the Gemara, Bashim Talu Kaima, she, how is she getting married? She should be concerned that her husband is still alive. Answers the Gemara, speaking about a case, by Memes Borili, I'm confident that my husband died. And as I saw the Rishonim debate, Tosfos says that by her saying Bari, that breaks the Cheskas Eishes Ish. Others say that even without that, since it's a Trey or Trey, the Gemara is teaching us a big Chiddush, that when you have a situation of Trey or Trey, so how do we resolve a Trey or Trey situation? Says the Gemara, Bari is a way to resolve that issue. Amar Rav Yochanan, Shnayim Amar Meis, two Edom say that her husband passed away. V'shnayim amrim loy meis, and two Edom say he did not pass away. Harezel tanasi, she may not marry another person. V'mnisis, but if she does marry, loy teitzei, she doesn't have to leave him. Shnayim amrim nizgarsha. V'shnayim amrim loy nizgarsha. Again, the halach is, loy tanasei, v'mnisis teitzei. Ask the Gemara, why is there halacha that if two Edom say she died or didn't die, the halach is amnisis loy teitzei, and whereas by nizgarsha we're saying that amnisis teitzei. Amar Abaya, tigma be'erechad. The Mishnah should be, the Brisa should be understood as follows. When there's one aid disagreeing with the other aidim, there's one aid says meis on nizgarsha, and the other aid says loy nizgarsha loy meis. It's not a case of two aidim. So explains the Gemara. Eid amam meis, if one eid echad amam meis, if an eid echad comes and says that her husband died, as we learned extensively at the end of Masech Yevamos, there's a special leniency, Mishimaguna Kilabar Rabbanan, that says that one eid saying that a husband passed away is to be believed. Kedula, and now we have Ula's halacha. Dama Ula. Kamakum Shemina Torah Eid Echad. Whenever the Torah trusts in Eid Echad, Harei Kan Shnayim. The Halacha gives him the strength of Shtayim, of two Eidim. Now, one Eid says that he didn't die. V'hai Dekam Meloy Meis. Now, an Eid Echad comes and says that he didn't die. It's one Havalech. The Halacha is, that is only Chad. Because to say that a husband didn't die, that's not a place where the Torah gives a special namanus. So this individual is an aid echad. And the halach is, v'ein dvarav shalachav v'makam shnayim. One aid cannot be stronger than two aidim. Since one aid cannot be stronger than two aidim, the halach who says, the aid who says that he died is accepted. And the one aid who, because he's considered like two aidim, and the one aid who contradicts him is ignored. So ask the Gemara, but the Brisa says, Harezel Tanase. The Rabbi Yochanan taught us that if she did get married, she could remain loiteitze. But ask the Gemara of Hachi, if the explanation is as we just explained, then the halacha ought to be that filo chatchila nami she should get married. Answers the Gemara, the reason why chatchila she should not get married is because what Rav Asi taught us. Meshum de Rav Asi. Dom Rav Asi, the pasuk says, chasam imcha ekshes peh. Be careful to do things that people should not be able to speak badly about you. Don't do things that will cause people to talk. And this is something when one aide says their husband died and the other husband and the other said he didn't die. Not everybody is proficient in the halachas as we just learned. And therefore, since not everybody's proficient, people are going to say, how did she get married? So therefore, she should not get married l'chatchila. The difference, says the Metzudas, between ikshus peh and lazus v'sayim, ikshus peh is when people explicitly speak negatively about you. Lazus v'sayim is when there's a rumor, but they're not saying it explicitly. But continues the Gemara to explain Rabbi Yochanan's din. However, in the Sefer, Echad Amar Nisgarsha, where one aide says that her husband divorced her, Ve'ed Echad Amar Lo Nisgarsha, he didn't divorce her. Tavayu, they're both agreeing, Be'eshes Ish Kamasadi, that she is an Eshes Ish. Ve'ed Amar Nisgarsha, and the aide that says that her husband divorced her, Havle Chad, is only an aide Echad. And Allah is, Ve'ed Dvar Shalach Ve'makum Shnayim. Rav Amar, a different way of understanding Rabbi Yochanan's Halacha. Loilam, Trey V'Trey Ninu. We're speaking about a case of Trey V'Trey. V'ra Rabbi Yochanan Dvarav Shem Nachman Ben Yosef Begerishin. Rabbi Nachman Ben Yosef said when the two pairs of Edom disagree that we don't let her get married and even if she got married she has to separate from the second husband V'loi B'Misa. But when the two Edom disagree about the death of the husband, he doesn't agree with Rabbi Nachman Ben Yosef. And the Gemara explains. My Tama. Misa, when the two Edom who say that he died, and two other Edom say he didn't die, if the husband will show up, she won't be able to say, well, you're dead, because he showed up. And therefore, she's going to be sure, before she gets married, that her husband truly is not alive. Gerushin, even if the husband shows up, that doesn't necessarily prevent her from being able to say, Yochum Achashasa, the husband could still say that the husband divorced her. And therefore, she's not going to be as confident, and she's not going to be as certain, and she's not going to make sure to be confident before she gets remarried. Ask the Gemara, or Micha Tzifa Kulahai, would a woman say to her husband, you divorced me, when he actually did not divorce her? Haven't we learned, Vamar of Nuna, Hishishamar Labal Gerishtani, if a woman says to her husband, you divorced the Namenis, because we have a chazaka that ain't Ishim Ezeb Fenab Fnebala, no woman would have the temerity to say to her husband, you divorced me, when he did not? Answers the Gemara, Hani Mili, Hecha, Deleka Eidim, the Kamasaila. A woman on her own would not have the chutzpah to say to her husband, you divorced me, when he actually did not. Aval Hoch and Al Gemara, Dika Edom to come asylee. She has two witnesses backing up her claim that her husband divorced her. Then, even though it's not true, it would not stop her from me'izo me'izo. Ravasi Amma, Kigoyin the Amri Edom Achshav Meis. The way to understand Rabbi Yochanan's halacha is in a case when she married one of the Edom, and she says that I'm confident that my husband didn't die. But going to Amri Achshemes, the Edom who is saying that he died just now, Achshav Girsha. But Misa, when we speak about Misa, when the Edom is saying that he died, and the two other Edom saying that he didn't die, the Lekel of Rura, because sometimes we won't ever be able to come to the truth. And therefore, we let her get married. If she got married, we let her. Gerishin Ikel Avura. Im Isa, the Hochihava, because she's not saying the husband, they're not saying he's dead, he gave a get. So something that could be verified, by something that we could verify, we should have a verification. Achsalon Gitech, show the get. And until we could have a proper verification, the halacha is she should not get married, and not only should she not get married, but Rabbi Yochanan says if she did get married, she should leave that husband.